two views on a Christian's engagement with candidate Mitt Romney. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Glad to be back with you in the studio tonight. See, I didn't say good this time. I said glad.
Yeah, well, very good and glad both.
That's right. I'm glad to be back tonight.
Well, Chuck, we've got some interesting things. Earlier this week, we've been talking about various issues, and we've been bringing up reasons why a Christian who holds to a biblical worldview really shouldn't be voting for Barack Obama. We've mentioned his pro-death stance, his pro-homosexual fake marriage stance, many other things. But we want to turn our attention over the next couple of days to arguments related to the presumptive, and probably by the time people are hearing this program, we're taping a little earlier, more than presumptive, probably already nominated candidate for the Republican Party, Mitt Romney. So what we're wanting to do, and this is interesting because a lot of our work got done for us, thankfully, we appreciate that, is that we want to look at a point-counterpoint pair of articles that appeared on the online journal called The Aquila Report. Now, The Aquila Report is one of those specialty web blog sites, and it's mainly for people who are, as they call themselves, the independent source for news and commentary from and about conservative, orthodox evangelicals in the Reformed and Presbyterian family of churches. But they don't just stick to things coming out of the Reformed and Presbyterian circles, because there are things with the Southern Baptists and other Baptist conventions and the mainline churches. Basically, it's a news aggregator to discuss what's going on with the church and how people are thinking in and about the larger body of Christ. And recently, here about a week or so ago, an article that was posted on the Aquila Report's website and was put up with the author's permission was an article from James B. Jordan, who runs an organization called Biblical Horizons Ministries in Florida. And it was titled, "Is It Okay for a Christian to Vote for Mitt Romney?" And of course, and we're going to discuss that today, and then tomorrow we're going to be discussing the response to Mr. Jordan's article written by a gentleman by the name of Jason Cunningham, who's a PCA ruling elder. That means that he's not a pastor teacher, but he is an elder in the Presbyterian Church in America, which is the denomination I'm in Chestnut Mountain, Georgia, and it was titled, "Why I Cannot Vote for Mitt Romney, a Response to James Jordan." So, Chuck, I think we're going to tee it off from there. I think I'm going to open it up for you and I to weigh in on some little background on this first.
Okay, well, basically, you and I have had some online discussions on this very issue.
Oh, yes, and some face-to-face discussions with people, too.
Sure, and to be quite honest, I understand where people are coming from who are basically coming to me and saying, we've got to get rid of Barack Obama. I'm not afraid to tell you that I think the guy needs to go. Here's the problem. What are we going to replace him with? And that is the very essence of the discussion here between these two individuals in these two opposing editorials. And because these are editorial pieces, they are opinion pieces, they're not stories. These are two strong opinions on opposite sides, whether or not Mitt Romney would be the ideal replacement for Barack Obama. Well, ideal replacement? No, hardly. Since, if you think about it, Barry, Mitt Romney has a dismal record on quote-unquote conservative issues. And let's get our labels straight. You and I are not conservatives. We are Christian constitutionalists.
Right.
I think you would agree with that. Who wants to conserve what we have now? Nobody. Nobody that is actually calling themselves conservative, although I often hear big-time pundits talking about, well, we've got to preserve what we've got. We've got to preserve Social Security. We've got to preserve Medicare. We've got to preserve this. We've got to preserve that. Well, look, they're glaring failures. Why should we preserve them? We need to restructure society so that people who are old and ill don't have to rely on the state. They should be relying on their family and their churches to provide medical care and help for families who basically have people who are ill and old and just simply are no longer capable of caring for themselves. Okay, that being said, we're Christian constitutionalists. We want to do these things biblically. What's going on in these two articles? Well, we have someone who I know to be a Christian reconstructionist. That's James Jordan. I've read a couple of his books. And he is taking the tack, along with some other Reconstructionist types like Gary DeMar, that it's okay for Christians to vote for Mitt Romney. And the reason it's okay to vote for them is that basically it will broom Barack Obama out. And the main reason given is that he's dangerous for the peace of the church. And I would reply to that, and Mitt Romney isn't. What indication does Mitt Romney's record give us that he is going to, in any way, reduce the encroachment of the state on the rights and responsibilities of the church? Can you think of anything? I can't think of anything in his record that would make me feel that way, make me think that.
No, probably not.
In fact, let's be clear about something. You and I both have people that we work with, that we're friends with, that we deal with in, as co-belligerents, that are Mormons.
Sure, absolutely.
And
Mitt,
of course, is a member of the Mormon Church. And Mormons tend to be very nice people. They're very hardworking, and they're very patriotic, and they have a very twisted theology. They are not Christians. They worship someone named Jesus Christ, but he is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. He is the physical son who is born of a union between the God of the star Kolob and Mary, who we call the Virgin Mary, in her spiritual body on this planet named Kolob. Now, if you think that sounds bizarre, that's because it's bizarre, but it is Mormon theology. And also, Mary, Jesus has a spirit brother named Satan, and they're basically fighting over the earth because to see who's going to end up with the sun as their particular star, because in Mormon theology, certain types of Mormons, if they live a truly exemplary life, get their own solar system to populate, and they generally do it through polygamous marriage in Mormon theology. Okay, we've just given a really thumbnail sketch on why Mormonism and Christianity are incompatible. And anybody who thinks Mormons are Christians really needs to look into their theology. Okay, should Christians be voting for someone for a leadership position that has that particular viewpoint? Well, James Jordan argues in favor of it on the basis that people like Joseph and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a number of other leaders in the Christian Bible have served in positions of authority inside the regimes of people like Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, all kinds of different despotic leaders who took over their countries and took them into slavery. But they served faithfully in there, and therefore it's okay to vote for those people. Now, Barry, my problem with that is, and you and I talked about it off air, that serving inside those regimes and bringing a Christian perspective and Christian thought and Christian action to the forefront inside those types of regimes is one thing. Voting them into power is something entirely different.
Absolutely. But Mr. Jordan, in his article that we're talking about, does a couple of things here, Chuck, that I find to be, shall we say, a bit on the edge of sophistry in relation to trying to make his case. First of all, he says, well, okay, let's stay home and let the country burn to the ground. Let's stay home and not vote, trusting like fools that King Jesus will actually honor our manipulations and do a miracle for us. No, guys, I don't think Jesus likes being manipulated. However, what he then goes into discussing is, well, manipulation.
Yes.
That we can, that these standards are not...
Man fallacy, Barry. That's a straw man fallacy.
It is.
He has basically taken an argument that's absurd and pinned it on guys like you and me and said, oh, well, this is what you're arguing. No, it isn't. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to point that out.
No, and that's perfectly fine. Because when I get down into this, he talks about this whole idea of Americanist political perfectionism, and that basically that this is a, as he calls it, a kind of political messianism that insists on a churchly standard of belief. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that there was a churchly standard and a non-churchly standard of belief for believers. A churchly standard of belief and of personal morality on the part of its political leaders. So what he's trying to say is, well, you can't impose your views on your political leaders. Chuck, that begs the question, who's putting the political leaders in the offices if it's not the voters, which includes, and if you look at the numbers, most likely include a majority of those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, believers. So what we have here is a shorthand way of basically trying to say, oh, well, the political leader is over here and has this standard. The church and the body of believers is over here. They have this standard, but the church to come over here and support the political leader who's under a different standard. Because Jesus would be okay with that, because that wouldn't be manipulation.
Well, basically what he's saying, and I think I use this phrase with you, since Christians have dropped the reins, then it's okay to continue to ride the stagecoach and, in fact, give the guy directions who picks up the reins and takes control of the stagecoach. Well, okay, but if he takes you to a different town than you were headed for, you kind of get what you asked for. And that's what's going on here. Jordan is basically arguing against almost everything he's written in the past.
That seems like, yes.
And that is, I think we're both realists. We realize that right now, people are not calling for biblical government. They are currently tied to the unbiblical idea that the state should take care of certain kinds of things, like socialized retirement, should be able to help you with college tuition, should subsidize this and subsidize that and subsidize another thing, so that you can continue to take vacations and buy new cars and have a 52-inch television set. And that's an easy trap to fall into. But the fact is, the idea that theology does not somehow affect your view of government is simply foolishness. And that's essentially, it looks like, what Jordan is arguing. And he knows better, because he has argued in the past the exact opposite.
Yeah, I believe that you're right in that. But ladies and gentlemen, to continue on with this, what he basically tries to set up is that, well, we as believers, it's okay for us to be under those who are not fulfilling the biblical mandate for leadership, even though God's civil order, Romans 13, mind you, and other references in God's word, is very clear that God sets up that civil order and that these magistrates are acting as his ministers. So can God's ministers have one set of rules in one area and a different set of rules in another area? That seems to be the argument that Mr. Jordan wants to be making here, basically saying, well, you know, all the job of the civil authority is to provide peace. That's it, he says, period, peace. He says he needs to enforce the law and make for societal peace so that the kingdom of Jesus can advance. And that's
okay, what
it, period.
If the magistrate is arguing that in order to have peace, we have to suppress the church?
Well, you see, now there's a good question, because what happens if you have, well, let's think about this, Chuck. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Barack Obama claims to be a Christian, but would we say that his edicts from the position of authority are supporting the church, or is it undermining the church?
Well, clearly he is attempting to usurp the authority of the church, but that's not surprising, Barry. This man was trained in his early years in a Muslim madrasa in Indonesia. I mean, this is no kind of Christian upbringing.
That's right. Well, but the point is, and Mitt Romney, who was brought up as a Mormon, also a non-Christian religious background, is also, folks, we can really go into the deepness of Mormon theology, and we can talk to you about this if you want to offline, because we've done quite a bit of study on this, and there are a number of things in Mormon theology that if you understood them, you would definitely not say that Mormonism and Christianity are equivalent or compatible. But again, Jordan keeps going with this and saying, well, you know, America's ailments are to be healed by the church. I'm fully with him on that. I am fully with him on the fact that the hurting, the sick, the poor, the church does the best job of doing those things. However, that if you appoint a man when God has given you, through his divine providence, the type of ability that we have as citizens in order to think through and put in place over us rulers, he wants us to judge rightly in that and use a standard, just as he called the children of Israel to use a standard when putting rulers in place over their tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands. As a matter of fact, that list, that standard from Exodus 18 fits pretty well even today when judging a political candidate. Are there someone who fears God, who hates bribery, who can't be bought off, and who would uphold the basic laws, the absolutes of God's truth? Those are the things we have to think about. And when we put an authority over us, not how bad the other guy might be, because this is the kicker on this, Chuck. Every argument that Jordan's making for why Mitt Romney's not such a bad guy to have over us could also be used the exact same way if you put Barack Obama's name in.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Unfortunately, Barry, we're going to have to continue this discussion tomorrow.
Oh, I think we're going to be doing that, yes.
Join us again tomorrow or another principles and policies.